I was being selfish and greedy. I was taking care of my own needs before telling you people to sit down. Please forgive me. So there you go. Please open up your Bibles to Psalm 37. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. This is a Psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. For they will quickly wither like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Let's pray. Lord God, once again, we just thank you and praise you for your word. Your word is truth. Lord God, as our Lord and Savior pray, we ask that you would sanctify us now by your truth. Through your Holy Spirit, Lord God, please apply your word to our hearts and minds. May we not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. Lord God, please give me clarity of mind, clearness of speech. Give me the utterance and the boldness to faithfully preach and teach your word. And Lord God, may you save and sanctify your people to the glory of your name. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We live in a day and age today where it's almost trendy to be depressed. It's almost trendy to be miserable. It seems like everybody is depressed. Everybody is miserable. And once again, you know, we even see advertisements on television today for how you don't have to feel so depressed and miserable. And there are all these wonderful medications that you can now take as prescribed by your doctor so that you no longer have to feel depressed and miserable. But it's almost like part and parcel with our culture today. The world we live in is just so depressing. We're all just so depressed. We're all so discouraged, so disheartened. I don't mean to go on and preach about depression. We will touch about it to some extent, some degree, through this message. But I just point this out because this seems to be the world we live in today. And we seem to come up with all sorts of excuses for why people are depressed. Some would say, oh, it's because of all the terrible stress in the world. Some would say, oh, it's because, oh, it's just simply that some people are diseased. It's a disease they have. It's a sickness they have. As believers in Christ, I just want to first say, we have no place being depressed. We have no place being discouraged. We have no place being disheartened. As much as the world may be obsessed with depression and feeling miserable, we as Christians have no place to be depressed and miserable. I say that simply because of this verse that we find here in Psalm 37. We are told in the Scriptures, we are commanded in the Scriptures to delight ourselves in the Lord. We are to take joy. Christ commanded his disciples before he underwent his passion. Christ encouraged his disciples and told them to take heart, for he's overcome the world. The Scriptures command us to delight, to take joy, to rejoice, to take heart, to be encouraged. We're not suggested to do those things. We're not given that as an option. Oh, by the way, if you're feeling like it, quote unquote, no pun intended, you know, why don't you just cheer up? No. We are commanded in the Word of God to delight ourselves in God. Now, it's true. There are portions of Scripture that say, hey, no, we need to mourn with those who are mourning. There are times, yes, when we as Christians will feel upset, we'll feel sad. We may be momentarily discouraged. And those are honest feelings and emotions. And we shouldn't necessarily deny those emotions or feelings, or neglect or ignore those emotions and feelings. But they should never be at the expense of us being able to delight ourselves in God. As many of you know, I work as an attorney. That's a difficult, difficult job. It's a contentious, aggravating, frustrating job. You're constantly fighting with people every day by its very nature. The reason why you have lawyers is because lawyers have to go and fight in court. Because you have a fight and a dispute with someone, lawyers have to go in there and fight and dispute. It's a contentious, aggravating job. That's not to say it's not satisfying that you don't sometimes see the results or the fruit of your labor, where you see some justice come about in some small way. But it's very stressful. It's very aggravating. It's very frustrating. There are times when I grieve and I mourn over the injustices that go on in our world and in our society. Yet that is not an excuse for me to come to church on Sunday morning and not delight myself in God. And not take heart. And not be encouraged. And not rejoice. And not give thanks and praise. I'm commanded in Scripture to delight myself in God. If I'm allowing the week's miseries to so obsess me where I can't come and be cheerful on Sunday morning, well, people, I've made an idol out of my misery. That has replaced my affection. That has replaced my attention. That has replaced my adoration for who God is and what He's done for me, particularly in His Son, Jesus Christ. My misery has become an idol. And I'm obsessed with that rather than being obsessed with God and delighting myself in God. We're commanded in Scripture to delight ourselves in God. And what does it mean to delight? It's the same in Hebrew as it is in English. The Hebrew word is agwa. Onog. And it means to take pleasure in. It means to enjoy. It means to get a real thrill out of something. How many of us get a real thrill, a real joy out of eating a nice, thick, juicy steak? It's the pleasure that is to us. Or the pleasure it is to dive into warm apple pie, some melted vanilla ice cream. We all have those little pleasures. We've all seen the bumper sticker, oh, a bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work. There are people who take joy and pleasure and delight in simply just being out on a boat and fishing, whether they catch anything or not. Just that peace, that calm. It's a delight. It's enjoyable. It's pleasurable. Do you delight and take pleasure? Are you thrilled? Do you enjoy God? In Scripture, you're commanded to do just that. All those same warm, loving, delightful, glorious, pleasurable feelings you get from whether it be out on a boat fishing or eating some delicious meal or whatever it is, you know what? You're to have that same delight and that same pleasure and that same joy in knowing God. And you know what? It ain't a sin. It's not a sin to take pleasure, to delight, to enjoy, to be thrilled by, to be overwhelmed by knowing God. Well, Dave, what about Isaiah? coming into the Holy of Holies. Well, the cherubim, the seraphim, well, they covered their faces coming before this awesome, holy, holy, holy God. Are we supposed to be in awe and in reverence and in fear of God? This almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, transcendent, glorious, holy God? Aren't we supposed to be, ooh, in fear and in awe and in trepidation of Him? Yes. We're to be in humble awe and fear and trepidation of God, this all-powerful God. But we're also to enjoy Him, take pleasure in Him, delight ourselves in Him. Because this almighty, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, sovereign, transcendent, glorious, holy God loves you and embraces you and has made you His own. He loves you and He cares about you. And He wants you to know His power and His presence and His love. Yes, we should do that in reverence. Yes, we should do that in humility. Yes, we should do that in awe. Yes, we should do that in holiness. But we should also enjoy it. And He commands us to. Once again, it's not a suggestion. It is a mandate. It is a directive. It is a commandment. Delight yourself in God. The psalm is written by David. And the context for where this verse comes up is David, once again, from his life experience. He's telling people, you know what? There are going to be those days. There are going to be those times. There are going to be those moments when you're going to see what apparently is the wicked getting ahead in this world and you apparently being oppressed and things not working out so good for you. Now, no one knew that circumstance and that situation better than David. Here is David, a man after God's own heart, a man who cared about God, was passionate about God, loved God, knew that God was his shepherd, knew that God loved him and was with him, knew God's righteousness, knew God's word, loved God, delighted himself in God. He strived to worship God and serve God and live for God every day, to stand up for God, to give glory to God's name. Here he is, a righteous man. What does he get for it? He gets a king who hates him and a king who's trying to kill him. Despite how loyal he's been to this king, despite how he's always tried to do the right thing for this king, how he's always stood up for this king, how he's always fought this king's battles and done everything this king could ever have asked him or requested him, this king wants to kill him. This wicked, unrighteous man is out there trying to kill him. David was fully aware of what it's like to see the quote-unquote, the wicked, quote-unquote, succeed. And the righteous seem to suffer. And yet, what is David telling us in this psalm? He points out, wait a minute, don't compare yourself to these other people. Get your focus off these other people and what's going on in their lives. Don't be envious about these wrongdoers. Don't be jealous. Don't be covetous. Don't admire what's going on or be thrilled about what's going on in their lives. No. You're to trust in the Lord and you're to do good. Even though you're suffering, even though all these other wicked people are surviving or seem to be surviving and seem to be succeeding, you know what? No, you still need to trust God and you still need to know what's good and do what's good. And you don't just do it for the sake of doing it. No, the reason why you trust God, the reason why you still go out and do good, is because you're supposed to be delighting yourself in God, not in these people, not in the things of this world, not into the success of this world. You're to delight yourself in God. He's your life. He's your portion. He's your eternal life. He's your meaning. He's your purpose. He's your creator. He's your sovereign. He's your strength. He's your savior. He's your shepherd who watches over you and takes care of you. You should be thrilled and excited just about that. You're to delight yourself in who God is and what He's doing in your life. David speaks from his own personal experience. We can't sit here and criticize, oh, you know, that's easy for you to say, David. How many times do we say that when someone's trying to encourage us? We say, oh, that's easy for you to say. You don't know what I'm going through right now. You can't turn around and say that to David. And you certainly can't turn around and say that to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Scriptures teach us, became a man, suffered through what we'd suffer with. Why? So he can be a great high priest who sympathizes with us and knows us. And we can look to him, the author and finisher of our faith, one who did endure, one who did persevere, one who does take on our burden, one who is our great shepherd, who's made us a part of his flock, who knows us and will never leave us nor forsake us. We should be delighting in Christ. Once again, we should not let the misery and the problems and the concerns of this world detract us or take us away from doing what God commands us, to delight ourselves in him. Paul tells the early church, don't let anyone rob you. Don't let anyone steal from you. Don't let anyone take away from your relationship with Christ and the joy of knowing him. Once again, we're to take pleasure in that. We're to be thrilled by that. We're to enjoy that. We're to be satisfied by that. We're to be gratified by that. We're to rejoice in that. We're to be in a good, giddy mood because of it. Because of who he is and what he's done for us. We're commanded to delight ourselves in God. And what's the reason for that commandment? We also read in the Psalms this morning, not just how pleasurable it is to come into the courts of God, to be in his presence. And the psalmist says it very clear. It is better to be in the house of the Lord than anywhere else, than to be amongst the unrighteous, to be amongst the wicked. Just to be able to come before God, where he's your God and you're his people. God has called you and claimed you and made us his own through his Son, Jesus Christ. Don't take that for granted. Don't take that love for granted. Don't minimize or trivialize that love. God wants you to be in his presence. God tells us to boldly approach the throne of grace in his Son, Jesus Christ. We have a reason to obey this commandment. We have a motivation to obey this commandment to delight ourselves in God. Once again, David isn't sitting here saying, oh, just keep a stiff upper lip, chin up, you know, tough it out, it'll work out in the end. He's not saying that. He's not giving some, you know, hey, little spark plug platitude here for you to try to just cheer up just for the sake of cheering up. No. David is reminding us, God is our portion. God is our life. We have a reason. He's made us his people. He wants to be in our presence. He wants to have a relationship with us. He's giving us a reason to delight ourselves in God. It's his very power and presence and his love in our lives. It's his very relationship with us. We know what joy and pleasure our family and friends give us. We all like that little line in the theme song for Cheers. Isn't it great to go to a place where everybody knows your name? We all like that feeling. We like to be loved. We like to be cared for. It gives us pleasure. It gives us joy to know, hey, there's someone out there who loves me. No matter how hard or rotten a day I had at work, it's nice to be able to come home to my family, but to know their love, to know their patience, to know their understanding, to know their care. It's no different with God. He loves you. You have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. That should give you joy. That should give you pleasure. That should thrill you. That should delight you. You should be delighted by God just by the very fact he gave you life. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He's preordained all your days. You live and breathe and exist for the glory of God. And why? Why does God place you where you are in life? So what? So you will hopefully draw near to him and grope for him and look for him and have a relationship with him. Doesn't matter if you were born in a ghetto. Doesn't matter if you were born in a palace. God put each individual in every place in life so that they would look for God and know his power and presence and love in their lives. No man has any excuse before God. Nobody can complain to God about their circumstances in life because they should be thankful for those circumstances because God has put them in those circumstances so they would seek after God and know God. And know his presence and know his love and know his care. He's given you life. He allows you to exist. Yeah, you may have problems in your life, but guess what? You're alive to deal with those problems. The alternative isn't much better. It's a lot worse, believe me. Like what the old comedian George Burns used to say. He used to say, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd read the paper, turn to the obituaries. If my name wasn't there, I knew it was going to be a good day. Are we just thankful to exist, to have life? God's given it to you. God's common grace, he gives that to every human being that walks on this earth. He gives us life. A reason to live is life itself. He's given it to you. Do something with it. Be thankful for it. If he's given you another day to live, he's given you another day to deal and address those problems in your life. Once again, your misery, your problems, your concerns, your worries, your frets, all the things that discourage you and dishearten you should never take away from you knowing that God is God and he's giving you a day of life to serve him and glorify him and know him. And we as the believer in Jesus Christ, we especially have a reason to delight ourselves in God. The reason why we can come into God's courts, the reason why we can come into his presence is because of his precious shed blood. That he gave us grace and peace. That he came into this world. That he lived a faithful, obedient life. That he stood in our place and took on our just punishment. And took on God's wrath in our place. He paid for our sins once and for all. He conquered over sin and death. He arose from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. His sacrifice was holy and pleasing before God. We know that because he is risen. He gives us life, life eternal. He gives us life, life abundantly. He took away the sin in this world, which causes all our sufferings and causes all death. He took care of that greatest concern, that greatest worry, that greatest problem in our life. Oh, how we, as believers in Christ, can delight in him. How we can take joy, how we can take pleasure. How we can be thrilled, how we can be excited, how we can be satisfied, how we can be gratified, how we can be giddy, how we can delight in him for what he's done for us. As we studied in Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. We are his. We are his own. He made us his own. God has indwelt us with His Holy Spirit. He has joined us to His Son, Jesus Christ. He's enabled us now to come before Him and pray before Him and seek His presence and His love and His work and His blessing in our lives, because we're right with Him through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm going to come and dwell with you. My Father and I are going to come and dwell with you. He gives us His Holy Spirit. Paul goes on in Romans 8. We studied that this morning in our class, our Sunday school class this morning. Those He foreknew, those He predestined, those He predestined, those He justified, those He justified, He's also going to glorify. He's glorified. He's given us every spiritual blessing in His Son, Jesus Christ. What compares to that? We should be thankful just right there. We should be delightful just right there. We should be joyful just right there. We should be rejoicing and thanking just there. But not only has He blessed us with all these spiritual blessings, yeah, He blesses us with all our physical blessings and needs. Jesus said, hey, if I'm taking care of the birds of the air, if I'm taking care of the flowers of the field, you don't think I'm not going to take care of you? Can anyone honestly sit here and say God's not helping you out with all your day-to-day needs? Can anyone honestly sit here and say God isn't working out your problems? And isn't there? Isn't taking care of you? God saves us. God sustains us. He meets all our spiritual and physical needs. He blesses us in so many ways. He makes His power and His presence and His love known to us every day. And we're commanded in Scripture to delight in that, to enjoy that, to take pleasure in that. And God tells us in His Word, He even explains to us, He's even gracious enough and loving enough to explain to us, hey, you know, when you are having problems and concerns and issues in your life, that's only so you'll come to Me. Even though you're pressed on all sides, as the Apostle Paul says, no, it's just made me that much more dependent on God's grace. I've gone through all these things to know God's grace and be dependent on Him. God is constantly trying to remind us just how much we need Him. And that's what our life is about, living a life with Him and His care and His love and His presence in our lives. We see the blessings God gives us. Whatever we say, think, or do, or experience, do we see it's all His grace? It's all His love? It's all His power and work in our lives? It's all to His glory? What else can we do but delight ourselves in God? Take joy, take pleasure, take heart in God. And when we see the success of the wicked, quote unquote, that doesn't begin to compare to the power and the presence and the love and all the blessings that God gives us. He should be our portion. He should be our delight. He should be our joy. He should be our meaning. He should be our life. After all He's done for us, particularly in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is why we delight in God. The psalmist David goes on and he says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. He starts talking about the fruit of what comes from when we obey God and His commandment to delight ourselves in Him. He makes it very clear to us. If you've been distracted by what these other people have been receiving in life due to their wickedness, well, first of all, don't jump to any conclusions, because you really don't want to get what they ultimately end up with. You don't want to fade away like they do, spend an eternity without God, when all those material blessings will mean zilch and mean nothing. He says, if God is your portion, if you're delighting yourself in God, He's going to give you your desires. But here's the interesting thing. And once again, we need to see the second portion of this verse right alongside and right along with what we were told in the first portion of the verse. Because if we're delighting ourselves in God, if we're taking joy in knowing God, you know what? We're not going to be envying and desiring and pursuing after the things that the wicked are pursuing after. Our desires are not going to be the things of this world. Our desires are not going to be our own selfish wants, our own selfish demands. We're not going to want the same things anymore. If we know God and His love and His presence and His work in our lives, if we know His will, if we know who God is, if we know the heart and the mind, the will of God as He's revealed Himself to us in His Word, and we're taking joy in who He is and how He's blessed us in His Son, Jesus Christ, to know that we have eternity with Him, are we really going to be craving and demanding and wanting temporal, worldly, material things? Is it really going to be all that important to us? Have $1 million in the bank? Have $1 million life insurance policy? Have $1 million a year job? Have $1 million looking spouse? Is that really what's going to be important? You know, you're going to know it's much better to know God and know His love, know His presence in your life. As the Scripture repeatedly tells us, the gold and the silver of this world doesn't compare to knowing God and the riches of His glory. Now, don't get me wrong. Does that mean as Christians, we can't enjoy any material things in this world? No. But our perspective and our understanding of those material blessings in this world, our perspective and our understanding of having a loving family and having food and having shelter and having a home and having a car and earning a salary and all these things that we use to live our lives out economically and which we enjoy in our day-to-day needs, we're going to understand all those things come from God, and it's God's provision to us, and it's Him who's taking care of us with those material things. And that we can trust Him to provide those material things for us, to sustain us, to strengthen us, to satisfy us. We have a whole new look and a whole new view on those material things. Those material things are no longer an idol to us that we're striving for and obsessed for and then totally disheartened, discouraged, and depressed when we don't attain those material things. Those are things that we realize, hey, you know, those are just the fringe benefits. Those are just the added blessings that God gives us in the course of our relationship with Him. It's one of the many ways in which God shows His love for us. If God gives us a job, if God gives us health, if God gives us a loving family, that's just God showing His love to us. And that gives us really more of a true, genuine pleasure and joy when we understand it's God's goodness to us. That's when those things become really, truly pleasurable. Because we recognize, hey, this is God being gracious. This is God being good. This is God loving me, taking compassion on me, a wretched sinner who rebelled against him and who sent his son Jesus Christ into this world to save me. And now he's also blessing me with what I need in my day-to-day life. And I can trust him about anything that I may, quote-unquote, need. And my only real desire is to worship him, to know him, to love him, to serve him, to obey him, to trust him, to love him, to delight in him. Our desire becomes our delight. We're delighting ourselves in God. God is going to be our desire. His will is going to be our desire. His blessings are going to be our desire. His grace is going to be our desire. His love, his forgiveness is going to be our desire. His word is going to be our desire. His commandments are going to be our desire. His will is going to be our desire. Because we live and breathe and exist by who God is and what he's done for us, by his grace. So no, this isn't a quid pro quo. Okay, God, you know, if I worship you on Sunday and quote unquote delight in you on Sunday, well, that means you give me whatever I want for the rest of the week. No. That's not what the psalmist is saying. He's telling you, delight yourself in the Lord. And then that's when God's going to give you desires, because your desire is going to be the Lord. He's your delight. He's your desire. He's your fulfillment. He's your joy. And once again, this is all possible because what he's done for us in his son, Jesus Christ. Yes, first to the believer, I'll say this. We have no excuse or reason to ever say to God, God, I'm miserable. God, I'm depressed. God, life really stinks. Oh, God, I'm just so miserable and depressed. We have no standing before God to say that or have that attitude. We're to delight ourselves in the Lord and to be mindful of all his spiritual blessings to us in his son, Jesus Christ. And to know that he's our Savior, to know he's our sustenance, to know that he's our strength. We're commanded to delight in him. We have every reason to delight in him because of his son, Jesus Christ. And if we delight in him, we know he's our desire. We should desire him more and more. We should desire his power, his presence, his saving, sanctifying work in our lives more and more every day. Lord God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God, sanctify me by your word. Your word is truth. Oh, God, let me serve you. Let me be, as we said this morning in our Sunday school class, let me be a strength and an encouragement to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let me help them grow and be transformed and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I want to be like Christ, and I want them to be like Christ. That's my desire, Lord God. To know you and your son Jesus Christ and to be like him. That's my desire. Give me the desire of my heart. And to the unbeliever, all I can say is, well, first of all, you're commanded to delight yourself in God too, because in his common grace, in his goodness, in his patience, in his mercy, oh, well, he has still allowed you to live each day. And he's met your physical needs. He gives you life to breathe every day. And he also offered up his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for men's sins. And you can be the recipient of that blessing as well. And you can know the delight and the joy and the peace and the glory and the love and the pleasure and the satisfaction and the, as I said before, the giddiness and knowing God and His love through His Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is before you. Take this opportunity to really, truly delight in God. Not just be thankful for the common grace He has shown you by giving you a day to live, but delight in the salvation of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to know His forgiveness, to know His mercy, to know His life-changing power, to know His Holy Spirit, to know eternal life, to know that there's no, therefore now no condemnation if you believe in Him. It is there before you. But no one can ever stand before God and say, God, the hand you dealt me, the life you gave me, was just miserable. No, God gave you life that you would know Him, that you would delight yourself in Him. So once again, I exhort, I encourage, I remind you this commandment in God's Word, to delight yourself in the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God in heaven, You alone are God. You are the creator and giver of all life. And Lord God, You fearfully and wonderfully have made all of us, and You've placed us in a time in history. You've placed us in a geographical place. You've placed us in circumstances. You've placed us in our lives, in this time and day and age and world, so that we may grope for You and know You, so that we would delight in You, know Your power and Your presence and Your love. And Lord God, nothing is more evident of that, and nothing is more of a greater display of that than by You sending Your Son Jesus Christ into this world to die on a cross for men's sins, and His resurrection from the dead, His conquering over sin and suffering and death, and the eternal life that's found in Him and Him alone. Lord God, every person knows that You're God, especially how You've revealed Yourself in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And every man has a reason to delight himself in You because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, that's our prayer, that everyone here, believer, non-believer, churched, unchurched, family, friend, neighbor, coworker, enemy, rich, poor, white, black, young, old, man, woman, that all would delight themselves in God because of Your Son, Jesus Christ, His salvation, His righteousness, His holiness, His eternal life. They would all know the joyful, abundant, eternal life found in Him. It's our prayer, Lord God, that we would all go here today delighting ourselves in You. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for our griping, our complaining, our misery, our self-indulgent depression, our not giving thanks to You, our not glorifying You. Please forgive us. Lord God, we have every reason to delight in You, our sovereign, our salvation, our strength, Your Son, Jesus Christ, and His precious shed blood and resurrection. Oh, Lord God, we delight in You and we worship You and we adore You. We thank You and praise You, Lord God. We just rejoice in who You are and what You've done for us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. You are worthy of all praise and glory and honor. May we do that now for the remainder of this day, for this upcoming week, for our lives until once again we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face. May we go delighting ourselves in You, Lord God, in Your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in His name we ask all these things. Amen.